section of your pew Bible. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because part of you can do nothing. Because apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples.
Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart and my mind be acceptable in thy sight, my Lord and my Redeemer. Amen. Oh, and I definitely understand what you were saying. So there are some times when I'm reading and it's like, what was that? The sequence of the words becomes a little difficult, but, oh, I think they do that purposely so that we have to focus on them ever more. Oh, hallelujah. Is today a good day for you? Good. That's not the same for everyone, but you know, we can have good days even in tough times. Because, as you read the sign out there, it's a question. Who abides in you? And the scripture in this, Jesus is giving them an allegory. He's giving them, you know, that literary device where you tell someone a story, either a poem or some description using symbols that give you an explanation for each of the cases, for a case. In this case, what Jesus is doing is he's just talked about in chapter 14 of the Gospel of John, has talked about, let not your heart be troubled. I go to prepare a place for you. If it were not so, I would not tell you. Then he says that he's going to be condemned, to be crucified. Then he says there's a promise of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit is going to come, even though Jesus is going to be taken away. And the disciples still don't quite understand that. You know, there are so many times that Jesus speaks in parables and uses allegory and sometimes even hyperbole. But he's trying to reach all aspects of people's lives so that they understand how God loves them. Abide in me. Abide in me as I abide in you. Jesus' great commandment to us is to what? To love one another as I have loved you. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. Now, there's a truth in that. Jesus is the vine. Now, some people say the church is the vine, or Israel is the vine, and some of the Old Testament uses the symbolism of a vine and the Jewish faith or the Israel being part of it. And even Paul speaks of us being grafted into that children of Abraham using a vine. But in this case, Jesus is the vine. Jesus is saying, I'm the vine. You're the branches on the vine. You're to bear fruit in that vine. And one of the things that's here is that why would a person have a vineyard and have grapevines just to have a vine? not much benefit of that. The reason the vine grower has a vineyard is so that he can produce fruit. In the ancient world, they knew about the fruits of the vine. They were grapes. They were delicious. And then they could be used for wine as well. But in order to get good fruit, plentiful fruit from a vine, that vine has to be tended to, has to be pruned occasionally, trimmed occasionally. A snip here, a snip there, a clip here, a clip there. This is unfruitful. Remove it. And those branches and limbs that come off of the vine, you trim and prune all the dead stuff off, the stuff that doesn't bear fruit, so that the rest of the limb, the rest of the vine, does bear fruit. The whole purpose is to produce fruit. Why do you build a foundation? If you're building, if you are preparing the ground and digging a foundation, laying a foundation, are you going to stop there? I mean, you do a foundation for a purpose, right? You're either going to put a building, maybe a school, maybe a church, maybe a hospital, maybe a home. When the Crittenden farm clears a field, Tom, do you know exactly what crop you're going to plant that point in time? You do it with a purpose. The point I'm making is you do it with a purpose. You don't just go out and clear the field to just clear the field. We are the vine. We are in the vine. Christ Jesus is the vine, the true vine. And we're in the for a purpose. We're in that vine to bear fruit. And God is the grower. He removes every branch in me, Christ, that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, even when we bear fruit, what is he doing? He doesn't stop tending us. He prunes to make bear more fruit. So Jesus, God the Father, the Holy Spirit, is working on us all the time. To what purpose? So that. And Jesus is talking to his disciples and he says, you've already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. What is the word? What word is Jesus referring to? The word of God. And when we read John, the first chapter of John, what does the first chapter of John say? The beginning was the word, and the word was with God. The word was God, and without the word, nothing was created. Nothing is done without the word. Jesus is saying to these disciples that they've already been given the word of God. They've already been told, spoken to. So he says, abide in me as I abide in you. Love one another as I love you. He says, abide in me as I abide in you. Just as Christ is in us, whether we like it or not, he's there. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. When I was looking at that, I was thinking, well, wait a minute, there are a lot of people out there who bear fruit. I mean, there are a lot of people who don't necessarily have Jesus Christ in their lives, but they're doing good things. There are a lot of charitable organizations out there that are not Christ-centric. They do good things. There are doctors out there who are healing people or treating people, practicing medicine on people, and those people are, you know, bones are repaired, and they're not Christians. But you know what? There's nothing that was created without God. So God is at work in them and in created order, I dare say, almost in spite of us sometimes. But what Jesus is telling his disciples, and by extension us, abide in me as I abide in you. Because just as the fruit can't bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. To bear the good fruit, to bear the fruit of the kingdom of God, we have to abide in Christ. Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Now, I think he says this again because he said it, you know, in verse 1, I am the true vine, and now he knows his disciples. So let me state this one more time so that you might get it. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. And all of this for that last verse, verse 8, the last part of verse 8, is the whole purpose of all of this. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. The whole point of Jesus' ministry was to glorify God. The whole purpose of those miracles were not to give Jesus credibility. They were not to demonstrate, other than they did demonstrate his authority, that was to bring glory to God. That was his whole purpose. His purpose is bringing glory to God, is bringing us and restoring us to that right relationship with God. Now, how do we abide in Jesus? We get into the Word. We allow Jesus to seep into us through the Word. As we meditate on the Word, as we read the Word, as we live the Word, as we practice the Word, when it says, do unto others as I have done unto the least of these, then you'll have done unto me. When he says the least, the last, the lost, when he says those are the people that we're supposed to care for, then do that. When he says, I love that. It's okay. I can talk over. I've got an amplified system. Preach it. But what Jesus is doing is speaking to his disciples about life choices for them. And even though it's centuries later, millennia later, 2,000 years, it's a life story and a description of how we should be. It really is about a relationship. It really is. It's not about what we do so much as how we're in relationship with God. And wherever you are, you can be in a right relationship with God. You know, there are prisoners in our prisons, in our penitentiaries, who are there because they did bad things. They may have murdered people. They may have injured people. They may have stolen things. Well, you know what beauty is? That very thief on the cross, whatever he had done, we don't know all of his crimes, but he was on that cross, as was the other gentleman as well. They were on that cross for a reason, because they had committed crime. And even that thief on the cross looked to Jesus and said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Now, he didn't get down off that cross. He died. But Jesus said, truly, I say unto you, verily, truly, I say unto you, today you'll be with me in paradise. It's the relationship with Christ. You know, we can mess up our lives when it comes to our children, our parents, our brothers, our sisters, the people that we work with. We can mess up our lives there, but we can still have a right relationship with Christ. Now, I'm not saying go and mess up your world and focus only on Christ, but because you focus on Christ, because you have Christ in you, you're probably going to deal with your brothers and sisters better, because if you're really following Christ, love one another as I have loved you. You're treating the last, the least, the lost with respect, with courtesy. You're loving them through your actions and your deeds. You're not criticizing. You're not gossiping. You're not mistreating people. But we're emulating, we're following, we're obeying Christ Jesus. Then we're in the vine. We're in a right relationship with who? With Christ. We're the branches. We're not the vine. Christ is the vine. What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to bear fruit. And as long as we abide in Jesus, as He abides in us, we will bear fruit. Not because of anything that we do. Okay? Not because of any innate quality that we have, but through the blessings and the relationship with God, we will bear good fruit. And it's only because Christ is with us as we do those works, as we abide in Him and He abides in us, and then we will bear fruit. So you lay a foundation, you plow a field, you lay a foundation to build a house. You plant a field to grow a crop. You abide in Jesus as Jesus abides in you to bear good fruit. And what are those fruits? The fruits of the Spirit. Go to Galatians 5. It talks about them. There's love. There's faith. There's joy. All of those positive things. Those are fruits of the Spirit. Who abides in you? And who do you abide in? And that question really should be turned around. Because the first part is that Jesus already abides in you. We are to abide in Him as He abides in us. As we receive communion, those very sanctified elements, this sacrament, this evidence of this awesome mercy of God, this body given, the bread that is broken is representative of Jesus' body, which is given for us. Given for us. That wine that we, or fruit of the vine that we share, is an emblem, a symbol of Christ's blood shed for you. For a reason. For a reason. So that we can be in a right relationship with God. And you know what? We don't go up and receive communion by ourselves. We receive communion, those elements, together as a community of faith, as brothers and sisters, all of us being in the right relationship with Jesus Christ, all of us abiding in Christ as Christ abides in us. And this is not an allegory. This is not metaphorical. This is physical. This bread, this fruit of the vine, they're physical elements. And by this miracle of grace, they become the body and the blood of Christ Jesus. You and I receive that. So truly, greater is He that is in you than that which is in the world. Abide in Jesus, as Jesus abides in you. Shalom.